From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. For the first time in more than 40 years, a female panther has been found living north of the Caloosahatchee River. It's an encouraging sign for some, but with roughly 30 panthers dying each year from car accidents, how many panthers can Southwest Florida really house? Ahead, we hear from both sides of the debate about how far panther protection should go. And development in Southwest Florida is booming once again, with more and more new houses being built. In November, new housing permits jumped about 40% compared to last year. As these developments push eastward, those new homes will impact not only wildlife habitat, but the real estate market. Coming up, we'll talk about the eastward march of Southwest Florida's development and improvements that homeowners can make to compete with new construction. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Demand for new homes in Southwest Florida means new developments push further and further eastward into prime wildlife habitat, putting pressure on a number of species. But those new homes also put the squeeze on the value of existing homes. 10- and 15-year-old homes struggle to compete with stunning brand-new model homes. Coming up in the second half of today's show, we'll talk with real estate professionals and designers about things existing homeowners can do to compete with new construction. But first, the Florida Department of Fish and Wildlife Conservation estimates as many as 180 Florida panthers call Southwest Florida home. Once facing extinction, this big cat species, the only puma species in eastern U.S., was brought back from the brink through dedicated conservation efforts. It also overcame what could have been a species-ending genetic bottleneck when state wildlife officials brought in 8 female Texas cougars to breed with the remaining male panthers. In the last 30 years, a population of roughly 24 has now clawed back to between estimated 100 and 180 panthers today. One sign of the population's health, Florida wildlife officials say they now have strong evidence of a female north of the Caloosahatchee, giving hope that the species may expand northward. But as panther numbers grow, the cat's habitat has dwindled. Federal officials continue to allow panther habitat to be developed. According to a 2010 Tampa Bay Times analysis, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't objected to a development in panther habitat since 1993. WGCU reached out to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to discuss panther preservation efforts. Our phone calls and emails were not returned, and no one would comment on the agency's most recent panther data. A panther population growing in spite of its disappearing habitat has some wondering what the future holds for panther conservation. As more panthers die every year from being hit by cars or in disputes with other panthers over territory. Here to discuss the future of panther preservation is Amber Crooks, an environmental policy specialist with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Also with us today, we have Bucky Flowers. He's a hunter, hobby livestock owner, and taxidermist who's hunted in Southwest Florida for his whole life. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
We are talking about panther conservation in Southwest Florida. What do you think about the endangered cat species moving north of the Caloosahatchee River? Call in with your thoughts, 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Comment online on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCO. So, a female panther living north of the Caloosahatchee River, Amber Crooks, with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. What does this news mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you personally, when I read that headline that there was evidence of a female panther north of Caloosahatchee, the first since 1973, I was over the moon, very excited with the news. My second thought, however, was that this is really great news, but it emphasizes that we need to stay on focus protecting South Florida habitat for that source population. So we're cautiously optimistic with this news, but we're going to wait and see also to see if this female does end up breeding successfully, able to find a mate, and then also continue our efforts south of the river to make sure that that core population and habitat is not infringed upon.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask the same question to our other guest, hunter and livestock owner and third-generation Floridian, right?
Correct.
Bucky Flowers. Female panther north of the Caloosahatchee River. What was your reaction when you heard this news?
Well, it's just more evidence that they're running out of room and they're having to expand further and further north. Well, you know, further and further north, there's not any less habitation from people than there is where we are. So it's just going to continue to be the same problem because First of all, I don't believe the number of 150 to 180. I think it's much more.
You think so?
Yes. Well, I mean, they say 30 to 50 every year get hit on the highway. That's the ones they know about. There's got to be some that hit and crawl off and die and they don't find, plus the ones that get in fights because the males will fight for territory to the death. So those are dying. They don't know how many times that happens a year. So they're saying that at least a third to half of the population is being killed every year on the highway, and there's still 150. I mean, the numbers just don't make sense to me.
Amber, let me ask you, how do you enumerate how many panthers are out there? And then are there enough new panthers coming in as far as kittens that can, you know, offset the number that are being killed on the highways?
Well, trying to inventory the panther, which is a difficult species to scientifically monitor, it is something that is difficult to come up with a firm population number. They are using the best science to estimate 100 to 180 currently. It may be moved upward in the future as they get more data. But one thing that we often hear is the road mortalities that have been record in the past few years, that's attributed to the increase in the panther population. And while there's no doubt that the panther population is increasing, we also have other factors, other variables that are contributing also to the panther mortalities, things like new people moving into our area. We know about 90,000 new people have moved to Collier and Lee counties in the last 6 years. We also know that we have more vehicles out on our roadways and more roadways being built. I think the statistics are we've had 3 million more car trips over the last 5 years in our area. So there are other attributes to look at, too, when we're trying to make sense of the population figures.
And it's 30 to 50 that get hit every year. You got to remember, I-75, Naples, 80 miles is 8-foot fence on both sides. 29 from US 41 all the way to Mockalee is 8-foot fence on both sides.
Do those fences work?
And these are chain link fences to keep them off the highway. So, and some of the Mockalee Road has got 8-foot fence on it to keep them off of that road. So you've got all of that highway that has no fatalities, and still there's 30 to 50 being killed. So then if you just think about it, the number cannot be right. We routinely see panthers when we're hunting now.
So you're questioning the number that they're saying living.
Absolutely. Well, it's typical government. They go in to a perceived problem and going to fix it, and then they fix it 180 degrees in the opposite direction and create a new problem and just kind of wipe their hands and walk away and say, whoa, look what a good bunch of people we are. Look what we've done. I'm all for panthers. Don't get me wrong. But I just think when they're roaming neighborhoods and taking people's pets out of the yards, the cats are looking for somewhere to live, and there's not enough native game for them to eat. Where we hunt out there, it's been 5 years since I've seen a raccoon, a possum, an armadillo, otters. All the pigs are gone on a lot of these ranches east of Immokalee because the panthers are eating them all. And what's next? I've asked game warden, do they have enough to eat? And he said, well, we're not sure. And they have told me off the record, we know we have a problem, we just don't know what to do about it.
Well, what do you think? Do they have enough to eat?
Well, one thing I will say is that a lot of times for the loss of deer that's been noted and loss of other wildlife, it's often contributed to the panther as the sole source, when actually there are other elements in the environment that, for example, there was just news this past week of a python that had 3 deer in its belly. We also know habitat loss. It affects the panther in the same way it affects other wildlife. So the more that we're losing of the native habitats for the panther's purposes, which, of course, is at the forefront of the Conservancy's mind, it also is going to have a ripple effect on the other native wildlife that Bucky's going to be looking for.
Yeah, so you're looking for this wildlife.
Well, listen, I've lived in Florida, you know, like since I was a kid, we've lived over here, and the deer habitat around here has never been better than it is in the last 10 years. I mean, all this semi-development and blocks of land is excellent deer habitat. We've had more deer in the last 25 years than we had when I was growing up. And now coons, possums, all that stuff, they're very adaptable animals that can live in any residential area. And they're gone. You're just not seeing them anymore.
And so you're saying that this change has occurred fairly recently?
Yeah.
In
the last 10 years, we've really seen a noted difference in the deer herd. You see your deer on around the golf courses and everything now. I see them on my way to work routinely, and I don't live that far out of Naples. And it's just they're becoming an issue. And like I said, I'm not against Panthers. I'm against the way they've overinflated the numbers and just continue to act like there's no problem publicly when privately they tell you that we know we have a problem. We just don't know what to do about it.
But, I mean, there are other predators, though, that do take out deer.
Yeah. Well, name one.
The one python that ate three.
Okay. I mean, the pythons, I mean, they're not. There's not enough of those to make a difference in a deer herd. Oh,
also, bobcat and
we're not seeing near the bobcats
bears,
we used to either.
The FWC is working on a deer study along with the University of Georgia. Currently, they're underway. They won't probably have the results of their study until 2018. But they are actually tagging deer to get a sense of how many are lost to panthers, how many are lost to other predators. Again, often the panther receives the brunt of the blame. And we see the same thing for depredations as well. That's when a calf or a goat is taken by a predator. Oftentimes the panther is blamed, and in some cases the panther has taken it. But there are other, like you mentioned, Julie, other predators that are natural in the environment that are taking goats and calves, everything from bears, bobcats, even vultures, wild dogs, different things you wouldn't necessarily think of. And also for the calves as well, loss to sickness or abandonment are also things that routinely occur.
Yeah. We do have a phone call that I wanted to get here. We have Lynn on the line who's calling in from Fort Myers. She has a question. What would you like to ask, Lynn?
Well, it's more about how you're really assessing these numbers, because when I hear that there's a panther north of the Coosahatchee River, I don't see that as being, you know, and maybe I just don't have enough information, but to me that indicates that not that the numbers are growing, but that the habitats are shrinking and that these cats are being forced to move to other areas in order to find someplace to live. And as long as we just keep thinking about development, you know, people who move here to Florida, they have to know that we have these animals here, you know, but it's like they move here and they just want to have us change everything so that they can live here. And I, you know, I'm a big animal rights person, and I just feel like, you know, we just keep building more and more, and I'd like to hear both of the your guests' views on this, because for me it's very, very frustrating. I live here in Florida. I know that there are panthers around. I know that there are other alligators and animals that I need to be careful of, and I'm careful, and I'm careful with my pets, and I learned to live, to coexist, rather than try to change it.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, I understand what you're saying, and I wanted to ask with that question a couple of questions. One, historically, did panthers always stay south of the Coosahatchee, or did they used to roam further north? And what happened to push them south, and are they being pushed north again?
Historically, the panther ranged all the way through the southeast United States. Right now, we're about 5% of its historic range currently, and up until just the announcement of that female panther, the breeding population, the core of the population, had always been restricted to south of the Coosahatchee on a very limited scope. And it still continues to be. And, you know, we're hopeful for the future, obviously, that we can move forward to get more breeding populations north of where we're at. And that would be what we would need in order to recover the Florida panther. Based on the best available science right now, we'll need three populations of 240 cats each. And so that means a lot more habitat and a lot more area than where we're currently at.
Well, three populations of 240 cats each will not fit south of the Coosahatchee River. They require a lot of space per cat, correct?
Mm-hmm. That is right.
How much space do they need? I mean, what's their roaming territory?
The females, they typically would like about 75 square miles. The males, about 200 square miles. Of course, those home ranges overlap, but we're still talking about quite a large area. But some of the points that Bucky brought up is that while we're trying to conserve this habitat and facilitate these panthers to be north of the river in a breeding capacity, we also need to address the human dimensions. And that's why we do have some good things on the horizon for trying to coexist more peacefully, like your caller Lynn suggested, because there are many things and programs out there to help facilitate that, where we can have these predators on the landscape while not creating the type of conflicts that Bucky mentioned.
Well, we're talking about panther conservation in Southwest Florida, and we'd like to know what you think about the endangered cat species moving north of the Caloosahatchee River and managing development in the face of growing numbers of Florida panthers. Call in with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can comment online on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Now, Bucky, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the efforts to keep ranchers there, because, as Amber was mentioning, that is good habitat for the panthers and all the other wildlife. And some of the efforts to get people to report the depredation of animals on their land. Do you see people reporting this regularly, or do you see them being reluctant to do so?
I see more reluctance to do so, just because, you know, it's paperwork, it's involvement, it's just they're paying you for your cow. And like I told you, you know, that reimbursing people for the cattle from these cats is a good thing, I'm sure. But, you know, when people, you know, that's not the same as you're going to buy me another cat for my wife or a goat for my wife that she's made a pet out of, because like the caller said, you know, they are running out of space, obviously, and there's more of them. It's not just one or the other. It's both. You know, I had as many as 5 deer killed in my pen one night, and the cat, it's a 3.5-acre pen, and the cat didn't eat anything out of any of them, just killed all 5 of them. And, you know, normally when the cat kills something, they cover it up a little bit and they come back and feed on it for several days until it's gone. They never – some of these deer I didn't find for a couple of days when we noticed we hadn't seen them. So they weren't covered up or anything. They were just killed, and the cats never came back to even eat on them. So I'm not – you know, in the beginning it was that Florida's got a unique species we need to keep separate. Then it seemed like when that money train was about to run out, then they bring in the cats from Texas, and they've had this population explosion. And please don't get me wrong. I love Florida. Panthers are part of Florida, and I want them here. They've always been here. We used to see them once in a great while when I was a kid. I mean, when I was 7 years old, about 7 or 8, we would come back from Fort Myers, and where Vanderbilt Beach Road crosses 41, one walked across the road there in front of us. Well, that's 25 miles from the nearest woods anymore, so they've always been around. But, you know, like you said, the development just keeps going. They keep doing nothing to control the population, and the two just aren't going to work out together.
Mm-hmm. We have another call on the line. Oh, I think they just left. They left us. We had a caller on the line I wanted to talk to, but give us a call back. Addressing what you're talking about, there are people that don't report it because they think it's a pain, because they don't want to do the paperwork, and maybe they don't want somebody coming and checking out their area and monitoring if there's a panther around.
That's usually the main problem. They don't want somebody on their property just getting everything started.
They feel like they're making themselves, you know,
a target
of investigation.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, I wanted to ask Amber, what happens when someone does report a panther killed something?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think one of the things that your listeners can take away from today is that there are programs out there available. Unfortunately, it would require that the agencies do have some involvement, because many of these programs do rely on tracking if it was a panther or what predator it may have been. And they do that through collection of the carcass if it's available. They also may scout for tracks. And if it is a panther that was the culprit, there are actually a number of programs. The Conservancy has a program where we help build pen enclosures that are roofed, and if they're used properly, should minimize the instance of predators like the panther taking goats, sheep, perhaps deer or other wildlife. Also, the federal and state agencies have some programs underway.
Yeah, part of the Farm Bill, they guarantee 75% of the cost of the animal, and that's, well, again, with cattle.
The first couple that we had lost, we called the biologist came out and said, yep, it was a panther. You know, you could tell by the way it was killed in the tracks. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you need to put your stuff in a pen at night. And that was pretty much, and they left. So why bother call them again when you know that's the routine? I mean, you know, a point of too many is last year, you know, the one swam Gordon Pass and was on down in Port Royal.
Yeah,
you
they
know,
had
so
that one,
I mean,
they
come on.
Him
if that's not an indication, I mean, what more proof do you need that these things are just getting squeezed
Is there any way to motivate them to move north? I mean, I know we have the one up north. I mean, they kind of – I can't get into the mind of a panther, but how do you get them to back to where they
– They're constantly looking for new territory and food. And like she said, with a habitat, you know, one male – a couple males will work that female's territory. And then if a male comes in into the area that – a new one, either he's got to go find his own territory or they're going to fight till one of them's dead. And they're running out of territory to go find.
Yeah, well, you've seen evidence of that also, right, Amber?
That's true, and that's why I think one of the things that folks who are concerned about panther conflict issues, human dimensions with the panther, whether it be depredation or with the livestock or sportsmen, we can work together, I think, to resolve some of these issues through greater habitat protection because we're aware of, on the horizon, an immense amount of development out in our eastern lands, which is the core of panther habitat and other native wildlife habitat. We're aware of a project right now that's been proposed that would add 10,000 new people into a panther habitat area, which would likely increase the conflicts.
That's the one I was talking about earlier out there at Orwell Grade in 29.
Yeah.
There's thousands of houses planned on going out. That is the dead center of all of this panther habitat.
So I think there is some common ground, even if we don't agree necessarily on the numbers the science behind some of these things, that that the habitat protection, making sure that there is enough for the cats to have their space, have their resources and prey, and hopefully minimize some of the conflict issues.
All right, well, we do have another caller on the line. This is Paul, and he has a question about the data. Paul.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I've seen this written a few times about female panthers north of the Caloosahatchee. And I grew up in Punta Gorda, actually north of the river, in a little community called Harbor Heights, which is near Deep Creek, considered Punta Gorda for postal code. But I've seen panthers my entire life. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I haven't seen, there's been years where I haven't seen them, but in the last 2 or 3 years, I've seen a couple of them. We've had one right in our neighborhood, and I sympathize with the rancher there. I cut in late on this, but I think there's plenty of panthers in Charlotte County. Burnstore Road, Vermont Road, I've seen them there in a couple of different places. An observation.
All right. Thank you so much. So, I mean, there are people that are saying that they feel like our part of the world may be full at capacity for panthers, but if we need to have that many more and that many different populations, is there room actually in this part of Southwest Florida for the numbers that that the ultimate goal is, three populations of 240?
Yeah, it depends on the quality of the habitat and the density that the panthers are willing to live amongst each other. But I do think, that it would require quite a bit more habitat in the state of Florida. There is some modeling exercises being done to look at that, especially with this news of the female panther. And it may include states beyond Florida as well into the future.
Mm-hmm. But the key right now, and maybe more short term, like 5, 10, 15 years going out, is looking at limiting some development is what it seems like both sides here can.
Yeah, well, I just don't believe you're ever going to do it, though.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's the same with the sea cow. You're not going to stop building houses on the water, and you're not going to get rid of boats. Something's got to give.
Yeah, that is.
That's part of the Conservancy's role, as we do track and monitor developments.
Right.
If they're in panther habitat, and they could be redesigned or moved, we will advocate that they do so.
I believe they tried to get some of these cats taken up to Georgia and Okefenokee, and they didn't want them.
Oh, they didn't?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah, that's correct. I know that they've tried different things in the past, and so that will be part of the education and outreach. And I know that the service is also the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service looking at other mechanisms from a regulatory perspective. If these cats were to be have an experimental population northward, perhaps in another state, to try and minimize people's concerns. But obviously we need to be careful about what kind of alleviations of any regulatory protections that – but those are all things in discussion right now.
It's also my understanding if there's more than 250, they go off the endangered list. Is that correct?
Right now, the recovery goals, they would need those three populations of at least 240 cats each. The populations would have to have some connections and corridors between them so that the genetics can continue to flow.
That's another reason I heard, they don't want to get near that 250 mark. Some of this money will dry up.
Oh,
the federal money coming in to do all this.
Well, talking about money, tell me a little bit about that. The Conservancy, they do have two different programs that they do, and that's one right. is reimbursing mm-hmm. and the other one. Can you tell me a little bit about those two programs? So if there's anybody out there that's interested in learning more about it.
Sure. Yes, we do have a website. It's called our Florida Panther Compensation Program that the Conservancy of Southwest Florida has. And we actually partner with other groups like Defenders of Wildlife to help build pen enclosures for people mostly in Golden Gate Estates and North Belle Meade that keep hobby livestock or goats so that they can be secure overnight when panthers are most active. We also have a part of our program that deals specifically with ranchers for the free-ranging cattle that really can't be kept in an enclosure. And in that case, we do provide compensation for the lost animal. We focus our program mostly on the small ranching operations, less than 300 head of cattle. But like I mentioned earlier, there are federal programs that don't have those type of stipulations that are about to get underway.
Yeah, and so far the federal program has paid out to one rancher so far, and they ended up getting $6,100 for 15 cows that had or calves that mm-hmm. had been taken. So essentially, it looks like we're on the same page that we like having the ranchers there, we like having the habitat there, and we would like to continue to support all of the different species and all the different people in our area. It just seems like the additional development is what's really putting the pressure on in both ways.
Correct.
I would agree with that.
Is that?
Yep.
Good summary. Well, we are running out of time, so I just wanted to thank you both for coming in. We have Bucky Flowers, third generation, Go Florida, and Amber Crooks with the Conservancy. It's great discussion with us, and that's all the time we have for that. Of course, the conversation will continue online at WGCUnews.org. Coming up next, we've talked about how development is the number one threat to Florida panthers, but those new homes are also dampening home values of existing homes. How can older homes compete? That's coming up on Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Stay with us.